Our brother asked that we would read from Luke chapter 19, and we will read verses 28 to 44. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. So this colt that never had anyone sitting on them before means it was an unbroken colt. And normally, we know what a colt or a horse will do when it's not yet been broken and never had anyone sitting on them. So that's a miracle in and itself. It's also, I think, a picture of Christ sitting in a seat that no one else can sit. And after the crucifixion, raised to be seated at the right hand of the Father in a place where no one else can sit. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So, kneel before the Lord in prayer.
It's good to be here and worship with you at Pleasant Hill this Palm Sunday morning. It's good to be able to visit back and forth and share with one another in our congregations. I believe next Sunday, one of your ministers is to be in our pulpit. It's good to have good neighbors. I was listening as Brother Paul prayed, and he was thankful that we could worship here on a resurrection day. We meet on the first day of the week because it commemorates the resurrection. But in the events that were read about here this morning, on what we now refer to as Palm Sunday, they didn't know that a week from then was going to be Resurrection Day. We have the account and we know the story, but it was a different experience for them. The experience of going with Jesus into Jerusalem that first day of the week, on that week before he was crucified, or the week he was crucified, was a high point in their experience. We have high points and we have low points. And that week, they had one of the highest experiences with Jesus that they had had. And by the time the week was over, it was about the lowest that they had ever had with him. I'm not sure what all we're to gain from the account of Jesus going into Jerusalem on that mourning, with the praise of the crowd. It is one of the accounts in Scripture, though, that is mentioned in all four Gospels. There's quite a few events in the life of Jesus that are mentioned in what we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But this account is one of the few that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. It happened, as I intimated there, just right close to the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth, just days before he was crucified. Now, we call it Palm Sunday, but Luke's account, each of these accounts is just a little bit different. Luke's account doesn't say anything about palm branches, but his is the one account that does say that Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he came near to the city. I'm sure that the day that Jesus rode in there with the praise of the crowd and the disciples with him was one of the days that they never forgot. I'm convinced that in the 3 years that he ministered with them and taught them and was going up and down the countryside, they had many things that they would never forget. It started with a wedding in Cana. I'm not sure even he had all of his disciples chosen yet at that point. But they ran out of water. They ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother was there, and she said, just do what he tells you to do. And he told the servants, fill the pots up with water. Fill them up. So they filled water pots up, gallons and gallons. He said, now serve it to the master of the feast. And by the time it got there, it was the best wine that was at the feast. Shortly thereafter, Jesus was traveling with some of his disciples. They went to a city or a town called Nain. And as they were approaching the city, on the way out was a funeral procession. And in that funeral procession was a widow. And the widow was also the mother of the dead man. She had lost her husband. She had lost her son. She had lost hope. It was a sad situation. And Jesus stopped that procession and he spoke to the dead man. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. Now, I guarantee you that was one of the times that they would never forget. I guarantee you if you ever had a funeral and you're on the way to the graveside, and the corpse set up and began to talk, you'd never forget it. And neither would I. And things were just beginning. They did all kinds of things with Jesus. There was that time the man came begging for Jesus to come heal his daughter. He said, she's nigh to death. She's not going to make it. She's very sick. And so they began making their way to his house, which was some time away. But they weren't making very good time. Things were going slow. There was a crowd around them. They couldn't travel very well. People were pressing in, trying to get close, no doubt asking questions, no doubt just trying to hear what he had to say, be close enough to hear what Jesus would have to say. It's kind of like a president working a rope line, greeting the people, except there was no rope line. And there was no secret service agents to make sure nobody got too close. And everybody was crowding around and in his way, and he couldn't move very fast. And as they made their way, finally Jesus just stopped and said, who touched me? As disciples, you know, what do you mean, who touched you? People all around, there's all kind of people touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? But in that crowd, there was a woman who had had health issues for 12 years. And God had impressed her and given her the faith to believe that she could get close enough to Jesus and she could touch his garment, she'd be healed. And she had worked her way into that crowd and got close enough to Jesus, and she reached out and touched his garment, and she was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she knew who Jesus meant, and Jesus knew who he meant, but the others didn't know what he was talking about. But she acknowledged that it was her who had reached out and touched his robe in faith. She came, fell down before him, and told him all the truth. Like I say, he knew the truth, but the people learned the truth. Someone had reached out to him in faith. Well, they still weren't at the house of the sick little girl, and they moved on. They soon got word, "Never mind, she's dead. It's too late. Don't need to come anymore." But Jesus then did something very strange. He acted and he spoke as though she wasn't really dead, as though she had just fallen asleep. And when he got there, he acted to the others as though she had just fallen asleep, so much so that they just laughed at him. But then he took those three disciples that he had brought with him, and he took the parents of that little girl, and he went into her room, and he took her by the hand. He said, "Little girl, get up." And she got up. And I suppose that some of you had more trouble waking up some of your children this morning than he had, waking that little girl up from death. It was amazing things. His life was filled with events that in 3 years, those followers of his could never forget. There was that time he took just a little bit of food, a couple times it was, a little bit of food and blessed it, and then kept breaking it and sharing it and handing it out. And thousands were fed. Not only fed, there was leftovers. It was a great miracle. There were the time that James and John and Peter went with him up on a mountain, and they saw his clothes become gleaming white like no launderer on earth could ever whiten them. And there appeared Moses and Elijah with him, and were talking with him, and they could witness this. And they never forgot that, I'm sure, as well. There was the time that he spoke to the wind and waves as though they could hear him as well. And he told them to stop. Be still, see? And it obeyed. Amazing. He walked on the water in that storm. He had Peter walking on the water with him. These were things that they would never forget. They experienced a lot with Jesus in 3 short years. Amazing things. And it seemed as time went on, his impact upon the people grew. And by the time we get to the events of what was read here this morning, the impact of Jesus and the reach of his ministry, in spite of not having the technology like we have, probably impacted practically everybody in the land. I can't imagine anybody didn't know somebody, at least, that had seen or experienced one of his miracles and been one of those crowds and talked to someone who had been raised from the dead or had demons cast out of them or ate some of that meal from those few fish and few barley loaves that Jesus had multiplied. People seemed to know about it. But as his impact and impression on the people grew, the opposition to him grew as well. And that opposition was getting more and more intense as the days went on. It seemed that those who opposed him really were getting upset. It seemed like Jesus had made a career out of pointing out their hypocrisy and their sin and their shortcoming. And their sway over the people they felt was getting eroded. And Jesus' opinion in the eyes of the people was increasing. And he was getting more influence and getting more sway in the people. And this was not pleasing to them at all. And here they were, Jesus riding into Jerusalem, praising him, calling him the one who would come in the name of the Lord, acknowledging him actually as the Messiah, and they couldn't have it. But the public is a fickle crowd, and flame is fleeting, and things can seem great one day and terrible the next. Life can change in a hurry, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, whatever. And I know you are aware of this. Many of us have gotten a phone call about some bit of news that changed our lives forever. Some of you have gone to the doctor and gotten the report or been diagnosed with a problem, and it changed your life forever. Things can change around so quickly. Some years ago, our neighbor had a stroke. It was a bad stroke. A few days after, I called, talked with his wife. She went into some detail about how that particular day he was not feeling very well. It was a Friday. And they were dairy farmers, and he had come in from the barn not feeling well at all. And as the day progressed, he did not feel any better. It came time to do the evening milking, evening chores, and he was just not able to go out to the barn. And so she and one of the daughters went out and began to do the milking. And they had some problems with some of the equipment. She came in to ask her husband what to do. And when she did, she found him unresponsive. Their lives changed dramatically. You know, sometimes just one misstep, one miscalculation, one second can make a difference. And sometimes it's not our calculation. It could be someone else's. But our lives can be changed forever. We can be having one of those great highs and suddenly be plunged into one of those great lows. Life is like that sometimes. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem there, with those followers praising him, acknowledging his greatness, and all that went with that, I don't believe any of them suspected for even a minute that within 5 days, in about 120 hours, Jesus would be whipped, scourged within to an inch of his life, and then be taken outside the city and nailed to a cross, crucified between two robbers. The crucifixion of Jesus and the events that led up to it were unexpected by many. It was a low that they came crashing to after being on a tremendous high, tremendous roll. And it was not only the followers of Jesus that were not expecting the week to end like it did. It was many others as well. We want to look now at some groups of people. These wouldn't be the only groups, but there's some groups of people and how they responded to not only the events of Palm Sunday, but unto the events of the rest of the week as Jesus was crucified and then rose a week later. First group we want to consider is the crowd, the most of the people that were there that day. This group would give the impression that they knew and loved and believed in Jesus. They were going along with the procession, crying out, praising him, maybe waving a palm, maybe laying down their coat, going with the crowd as they moved toward Jerusalem. They thought they knew what they believed about Jesus, and maybe some of them did. You know, there's a lot of people today that they would have you believe that they know what they believe about everything, that they've thought things through and they just know where they are. And some things maybe perhaps they have thought through. There's a lot of people that are very willing to share their opinions. I guess we all have opinions. Some of us are quicker to share them than others, but we all have our opinions. But what really matters to a lot of people is not really what's true, but what's easy. What just keeps me from having trouble? What makes life as easy for me as possible? A lot of these people were no doubt like the people there in that crowd that day. And they had a good opinion of Jesus. He was a good guy. I mean, he had done a lot of good things. He had helped a lot of people. And if there's a parade, we're going to Jerusalem, and yeah, I'll wave a branch, and I'll sing along, and I'll go with the crowd. And they do, as long as it doesn't really cost them anything. I mean, if that's what everyone's doing, it's all right with me. But when Jesus wouldn't do for them what he wanted, what they wanted him to do, when following Jesus began to cost them a price, when following Jesus begins to cost a lot of people money or prestige or position, well, then they're done with Jesus. If they can't join the club, if they're not invited along to lunch, if they won't get the promotion, if they're known as a Christian, well, we don't need Jesus anymore. This group's represented in the crowd Jesus talked about in his parable of seed that sprang up on shallow earth. Good enough earth. Seed sprouted quickly, grew quickly, but it didn't have depth. And when the heat came, it withered and died. These are the people who follow Jesus as long as it's convenient, as long as I'm getting back what's good for me. Another group of people there that were in the city that week, we don't read about them in this account. They were more prominent in the events of Friday, are the soldiers. This was a time when big crowds were coming to Jerusalem. And Rome was not too fond of big crowds in their cities that they controlled. They wanted to keep control, and I'm sure they had reinforcements there. There were plenty of people there, plenty of soldiers. Their job was to keep the peace. That's why they were sent there. Those was their orders, and that's what they came to do. They probably knew less about Jesus for the most part than many of the other people, no doubt with some exceptions, but he wasn't really their concern. They were there to do a job, and beyond that, just leave me alone. I don't care who he is. I don't care where he came from. I don't care what he did. I'm just here to make sure things don't get out of hand. And then when the day's over, I just want to go home and leave me alone. These people represent those who are indifferent about Jesus. Don't care. Just leave me alone. You live your life. I live my life. Just let me do my job. Let me go home. Let me watch TV, surf the internet, go to the ball game, mow my lawn. Just leave me alone. You do your thing. I'll do mine. There's a lot of people that are totally indifferent about Jesus. There was another group. We intimated about them a little while ago. These were those who were opposed to Jesus. They weren't indifferent. They were opposed. The scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, and again, with rare exception, for the most part, they were opposed to Jesus. We call the day Jesus was crucified, or the day we commemorate or remember it, we call it Good Friday. Kind of a strange name, don't you think, for a day when someone was crucified. But we call it that because we know what it accomplished and what it was necessary for and how it ended. And for those that were opposed to Jesus, when they saw him on the cross, it was a good day for them, they thought. They finally had him where they wanted him. He's finally out of the way. We wouldn't have done it here over this time. There's too many people around. But hey, when Judas showed up and he offered to betray him and a little bit of money paid him off and we get it worked out, we got the crowd turned against him. We persuaded Pilate to crucify him, although he knew he was an innocent man, but doesn't matter, we got the job done. He's gone. For them, they thought it was a Good Friday. They were tired of him exposing their sin and hypocrisy. They were tired of him getting the followings of the people. They were losing their clout and they wanted it back. And they were glad that he was gone. But there was a few that knew that this man that hung on the cross was not just a man. They had seen too much. They had experienced too much. They had felt too much in their own hearts. And Peter had spoken for them all when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This other group, though, were happy to have him done with. And when he was finally there on the cross, they derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ, the Son of God." There are some in this world who are like the crowd. They'll follow Jesus. They're happy to be known as a Christian, as long as it doesn't cost too much. As long as there's an upside. As long as there's a payback, a return on my investment being known as a Christian. As long as it's convenient, yeah, I'm a Christian. There are many others who are indifferent. Some know and some don't know. Some have no idea. I was challenged with a thought this week as I listened to something of how many people there are who, even in our own country, perhaps even in our own communities, who have never met a genuine Christian. How many people might there be? Maybe they wouldn't be indifferent if they met one, but there's a lot of people that are indifferent. Some will follow him as long as it's convenient. Some are indifferent to Jesus. They're just getting through life, doing the best they can. You leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. They're indifferent. There are some, and the number seems to be growing, of those who are opposed to Jesus. They might not even realize that's what it is, but they're hostile to the teachings of Jesus and the Christian way of life. But there was another group. There were a few loyal followers of Jesus. It was the smallest group. It's still the smallest group. As I said earlier, they had been through a lot with Jesus. They had seen much, they had experienced much, and they knew that he was no mere man. Jesus' mother would have been in that small group, and she stood by the cross there as he was crucified and suffered and then surrendered his life. Now, if anybody would have known that Jesus was not just a mere man, it would have been Mary. She knew how he came into the world. It was not like any other man. She knew those details. Mary Magdalene was there. Jesus had cast out 7 devils from her, like he had done from so many others, cast out demons that had controlled their lives and tormented them. She knew. She had had a great deliverance. She knew he was no mere man. And we know that a few days after that crucifixion, it was going to be Resurrection Day. But I'm not sure that they understood how this was all going to work out. I don't think they really did have a good idea what was going to happen. They knew that he was no mere man, but I think they were a little confused. What do we do now? Is this the way it was supposed to go? Who do we turn to now? Where do we go? They had questions they didn't have answers for. You know, we have the story, and I don't know about your life, but I think I can say I have some questions I don't have all the answers for either. And so their faith had to be in the God and in this man who now was dead, that they knew to be more than a man, in spite of the fact that they didn't have all the answers. I suspect that fear could have been part of their emotion. What are they going to do with us? They got rid of him. Will they come for us? I'm not sure they knew what to expect. Certainly grief, sadness. After seeing this most loving and understanding, incredible person they had ever known hang dead on a cross, that would have been crushing. We know Jesus is God and took on human flesh and that he was no mere man. We know that he is all powerful and kind and loving. We know that he died for our sin, for the sin of mankind, and rose from the dead forevermore. They didn't understand all that yet, but they understood more a little later. And that's the way it is with you and I. We don't understand it all yet either. But we'll understand a little later a lot more than we do now. made me think of the lyrics of the song, "Then Came the Morning." They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. I don't know the events and the details of your life. Shouldn't doubt that some here are having a low time. Maybe some are really high. If you live long enough, you'll have some of these, up and down. But whatever happens, I encourage you not to be a follower of Jesus just when it's convenient, but be a loyal follower. Don't be indifferent. Be a loyal follower. And for sure, don't be an opposer. Be a loyal follower of Jesus, because we'll get our questions answered soon enough.
Let's stand for closing prayer.